We saw you, Michael, walk by the door.
Oh, yeah?
But no one was motivated to get up and grab you. I was, but they were blocking me. Getting up. Monique, no. Yeah. Do we want Michael? No. Well, what more can I say, you know? Just go back to the same situation. Of questioning the reference point, yeah? It's this imaginary reference point. Or it's more like a frame. That whatever comes in and out of it is an interpretation, yeah? Something that's there to come out has already been neutered, and something that comes in gets neutered by making it something, yeah? So everything, no matter what the size it is, has to become a size that will fit in this frame of self-centeredness, yeah? And in recovery, for many of us who are in addictions, have experienced it intimately, the failedness of the system. Yeah, that reliance on self is a failed system. And it's in the reliance on the failed system that allows so much fear to pop up. Yes? It's sort of like every one of us have a lot of faith, but the faith is going to manifest an effect here in manifestation by the vehicle it's put in. So if I have faith in the thought system, I'm going to be anxious about tomorrow. Yeah. Because it's going to have a lot of concern about what's going to happen to me. And I'm also going to be stuck in old ideas about what happened to me. Because what will have more emphasis in me in this life will be there and then. Because I'll be devoted to a system of thought that's all based on there and then. Yes? So, if that faith was removed from that system of thought and interpretation called self-centeredness, and then you would have a sense of being centered. They both have a quality of centeredness in them, but one is self-centered, which is all that you are is fixated on one point that you seem to be, a body. Or you get out of that claustrophobic view, and then there's the moving into centeredness, which means you're centered wherever you are. Yeah. You can't be anywhere other but the center of everywhere, because everywhere is the center of everywhere. There's not a special location in everywhere, which is the center of everywhere. Everywhere is the center, yeah? So, in a way, for me, in self-centeredness, I was very, very cooped up. And then in the movement, in a sense, or the shift of the centeredness, I became free range, like a chicken, yeah? I was cooped, I was in a coop for quite a while, and then I was freed, and I became like a free range alcoholic. Yeah, I appreciate the program and everything, but I don't have to live in an institution. Yeah, I don't have to be jailed anymore. Yeah, I don't have to be put in a hospital. I can actually live a day at a time out here. I'm inherently free because my life isn't based on self-centeredness. Now, I can want to be free in self-centeredness, but that defeats the whole purpose because the idea of being a self is imaginary, so how can an imaginary person become free? There's only a mind that can be free from the imaginary person. Yeah? But the imaginary person is never going to reach the other shore. So the whole point is, the journey is already over in a way. You don't need to take a journey. It's just realizing there's no need for a journey. Yeah? And that realization is timeless. It doesn't have to be provoked through time. It's a timeless event, so it can happen anytime. Yeah? It could be sitting right now, boom. Yeah. If the point is, if it happens once, it can be duplicated forever because the mind entertains that once is forever. Yeah? If you have one event here that broke the surface of this story, you get the sense that there's a huge ocean underneath it all. So it may take one little event that breaks the surface and reality pops out, then you realize all there is reality. Yeah? So no matter how the mind displays its discrimination of differences and degrees and close and far and high and low, you're not fooled anymore. Yes? The seeing overwhelms all of that information. Just like there was a man here the other last night, and he went to a typical thing. But what about Monday? So the mind always wants to supplant this moment with its concerns about another moment. Yeah, that's called devotion to a failed freaking system, where you can't even honor. Like people come to talks and they go, "Oh, I feel really nice at the talk," but this is when the world begins. But what happens when I go to work on Monday? You can see how the mind, it says, oh yeah, this may be good, but that's the more defining moment, which is a non-moment. So to have this moment defined by non-moments, to me, is totally insane. Yeah? To have Tuesday and Wednesday have more say on Saturday than Saturday is insanity to me. Yeah? It's just like, you know, it's after it got, let's say, vanquished, or it just lost, there was a huge loss of interest in it, I cannot believe how people are trying to get into what they can't be out of, and they're trying to get out of what they can't be in. Their whole preoccupation is to get out of self, which they can't be in, or they're trying to get into a moment that they can't be out of. How can anything be built on that foundation? That's going to work. How? How can it? Yeah. It's like this example of an alien. An alien gets a big grant to do 20 years of research on humans. Yeah. So it lands in America and it's going to look at the society of America. It's got a 20-year plan. I'm going to go over everything. In the first minute, 5 minutes, it finds some information out, and then it just takes off on the ship. It just leaves. There's no more study necessary. What does it find out? It says, well, any freaking society that puts profit over health is insane. Everything else built on that cannot be fucking sane. Yeah? You know, to charge, to have money over health of the citizens, more important than the health of the citizens, it's insane. I don't care all the great works you do and this and that. That bottom line, I don't need any more research. Phew! Just fly off. Yeah? Now, the thing is, many of us have realized what we're relying on is failed, but see, this failed system is successful, incredibly successful in one way. It's convinced you that you're it. Yeah? So it's like the thing, if a big bug flew in this room right now and landed on anyone's arm, the first reaction would be to knock it off. There would be no thought. You wouldn't be going, oh, what should I do about this bug? No, you just shoot like this, like that. If it land 30 times, you go like this. Once, go like this. But now, in a way, a parasitical movement of conditional mind has taken us over. And it's a hostile takeover. Sometimes it's an extreme takeover, like alcoholism and addiction. Other times it's a more quieter takeover. But basically, it takes life away and it replaces it with an interpretation. Yeah? It sucks you dry either way, either quickly or slowly, but it sucks you dry. And you get to have an interpretation of life, and you believe you're living it. Yeah? And yet, the living of it has been totally dismissed by what? This parasitical movement. You would imagine you'd throw it off like that, but its strategy is so incredible that it convinces you that you're it. So now, even with a noble feeling of freedom being entertained, it's being bastardized by how you're entertaining it. I'm going to become free as this. I want to be free as the self I am. Yeah? It doesn't matter how noble it is, it's now twisted it, and it's going to be used to reinforce the identification of self. Every step of the way, you're going to be so obsessed with self in the process of getting out of self. That in a way you're more in self than ever. It would have been better if you never looked into spirituality. you seriously, you see it quite a lot. Yeah, you have this. It's like this conundrum. You take 2 years of studying about obsession with self. That could be construed as obsession with self. You can't get out of it. Why? Because you're not in it. Once you believe you're in it, then there's all these master plans to get out of it, which are just forms of being in it. Not one of them. They promise escape. Not one of them lead to an escape. Because what are you escaping from? You're so sure for some vague reason, I want to get out of myself. But what is it you want to get out of? You're wanting to get out of some place you can never be in. That's why it's never successful. That's why drug addiction's never successful. I was trying to get out of self through drug addiction, but I missed the most important point. I'm not in self. Yeah? So, so the way something that cannot possibly be so makes itself seem so is your fervent desire to get out of it. That's how it claims being something. Or why would you be so motivated to get out of it? I'm real. Look at you. Look. You're scared shit. Look. You're doing anything to get out of this place. This place must be real. Why? Because the reality is assuming it to be so. What happens if you see it? Find out. You see it, and it's going to reverberate. You're the message. You're the living message. This is an invitation. This is not the deal. The deal, you are the product. This is like an infomercial. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're trying to point something out. You're the product. There's no shipping and handling. Don't order 20. You know, you're it. But I don't feel like, who's saying how you're supposed to feel if you're it? It's a kaleidoscopic event here. And that's the point you keep going back to. If not, you're going to be taking journeys from the wrong first step. Yeah. And you'll try to correct it, the wrongness of the steps, by adding more steps. It's just going to, geometrically progress the imaginary problem. You're giving fuel to the fire. You want to bitch about the fire, but you're stoking it. You're the incendiary device. So when I heard this, I'll tell you, man, I was involved with a Dokchen group, which is a Tibetan Buddhist thing, which they talk about the great perfection, which gets pretty damn close to a lot of things. It talks about relaxed awareness and this and that, but there was a meeting every Thursday. And something happened to me the day before the meeting, and I went, and it was like my spiritual pants had been pulled down, and I couldn't find the way to pull them up. So I felt really freaking naked and vulnerable, and I was trying to share at this group, hey, all this shit I've been doing, and I'm so invested in, you know, the spiritual identity is pointless. My whole spiritual rug that I had weaved with many retreats and hours of meditating just got pulled out from underneath me like that. And I was naked. And you know what? For some reason, the grace was there not to pull the pants up. You know, not to notch my belt and get on with it. But no, stay there. Never went back to that meeting again. You know? I just did it. And then what I had so much fervent hope in, there was nothing wrong with it, but it was pointless. Yeah? It was leading me away from the point I was meant to dwell in. But I can dwell as it. You cannot dwell in something else and have an experience of it. You dwell as it and have an experience of all these somethings else. Yeah? We want to relegate it to an experience. And then we want it to be a certain way. We want it to be bliss on, you know, forever, infinitum. It doesn't work that way. To me, it's not an experience, but it infuses an influence on your experiences. In other words, it lightens up your whole event here. Yeah? It doesn't burn. It's not like a burning sun. It's like a dispersing of light. It just brightens things up. It's like HD. Yeah? You have a clarity that occurs. And it's not something you're doing to promote. And you definitely don't get in front of it and try to polish it, like cleaning a mirror. Yeah? It has the ability to reflect already. You just play that role. Yeah? And then you find out a lot. You don't know. Knowing is given up. You realize knowing is a dead end. Yeah? In this one topic. There's no way. Knowing, it does not work. But what happens is you go to a state of mind that Zen calls a very high state of mind called I don't know. And in the I don't know, you're relegated into finding out. Yeah? That's what happens. Yeah? You find out before you know. We're trying to know before we find out. Yeah? But in a sense, you find out and then you know. Then an understanding gets formed, yeah? Not from the outside, but from the inside. And then when it's placed on the outside, it's the perfect template. And then the information that comes to light is really, 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 really clear. Yeah? We're trying to put a template on something we have nothing to do with. We don't have any idea what's going on, in fact. But from there, the template that comes from inside out will explain a lot to you. You'll understand. Yeah? But the priorness is the finding out. We're trying to understand ourselves into something. We want to have a pre-knowing to make sure it's like sending a scout. We want to make sure awakeness is, you know, okay, you know, make sure. I don't want to lose too much of me. No, you know, we want a scout to tell us that that's the mental sense of security, knowing. That's gone. You find out. You're at a point of I don't know, and then what used to be neutered and freeze-dried is now revelatory. Yeah? Every day is an invitation. Every freaking day. And underneath, the plate of the invitation is the same plate. Basic dog shit awareness. Every freaking day. All day. Everything is based on that. It's like the mind, you know, we talked about the eye of Sauron. It's so trippy, looking for the ring. And it's you know, in the middle, you know, the Lord of the Rings stories. And it's scouring everywhere to find that ring, but it misses nothing, you see? It's always looking for something. And in that looking for something, the nothing is right out in the open, and it doesn't even notice it. That's what it is. Yeah? And somehow, if the grace falls to you, and then there's a noticing of that, everything can change. Yeah? There's a correction prior to any idea that something went wrong. Yeah? Yeah. We shared it yesterday. I'm going to run it by again because it's a simple little example. Last time I went back east, I hadn't been there in a while, and my hair had grown. So people were coming up to me going, "You're growing your hair, you know?" And I listened to that. I said, "No, I'm actually not growing my hair. I'm just not cutting my hair." Yeah. In fact, I have nothing to do with my hair growing. Yeah. But it was sort of made that feeling of, oh, yeah, I go home a couple hours a week and grow my hair, you know? And I have a growing hair group, and we get together, and we try to gauge how each other's doing, and then we're rating out, "You're a really good hair grower." "Yeah, thank you." You know? And yet the language that's being used all day is constantly inferring we have something to do with something we have nothing to do with. A lot. Not just that simple example. A lot of the time, what's being assumed is a sense of being the doer where we have nothing to do with. Yeah? And we're listening to it. We're listening to it in like an habitual way. You don't see it's having an effect. It's like a trance setter. We participate in each other's trance all freaking day. Yeah? How is reality going to be clear to us if the reality keeps playing around with distortion and confusion? Yeah. You are the reality, and you can seem not to be that. And when you're seeming not to be that, reality is as if it doesn't exist. You don't fucking feel it. You don't sense it. You're not bumping into it during the day. Yeah? Like I used to hear when I was a kid, we had kept, you know, Catholic school, they taught us about the three qualities of God, which was, it's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. It's all-powerful, all-knowing, and it's everywhere. And I always just remember, why am I not bumping into it? If it's everywhere, I never fucking run into God. What's happening? If it's all this, what's going on? Can I be that powerful that I can black out everywhere? And what's all-powerful and all-omniscient? Well, if I am omniscient, all-powerful and everywhere, I can make it seem like I'm not. Yes. That's true. I can. I'm the only thing, non-thing, that can do that. Nothing else can make themselves seem real except reality. Nothing. Nothing can... You can't come up with a sense of reality out of falsehood. It's only if reality sees it a different way that it can appear to be real. Where's your role? Where's your role in that? Go back a little farther from the subjective experience. Everyone in this room is having a different experience of this event. You don't get it? You're giving it the meaning it has right now. And the seeming person next to you may be giving a totally different meaning. This is playing God all day. Yeah? What could be playing God but God? We're busily trying to find God. That's what's looking. Or we want to call it God. We're trying to find it as an object or a thought or an idea when we're the one that's hatching those thoughts, ideas, and those objects. We're that God. Yeah? And like a master said, what's conceiving can't be conceived of. What's hearing can't be heard. What's feeling can't be felt. Yeah? You and I are the reality. And we're giving reality or lending reality to what we're seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and touching. Yeah? And thinking, especially. We're giving it such a reality that you can think about last Wednesday, which isn't happening, and produce an effect now. You can produce anxiety about something that's not happening. That's how powerful the mind is. Yeah? It can go to an imaginary field and harvest a crop. That's it. What it's doing, isn't it? And especially in the future. It doesn't even have the claim that it actually happened. We have at least a sense something happened. But we're doing it in the field of the future that hasn't happened. And yet we're still producing and harvesting effects in us right now. You can be reacting to a future and not be responding to this moment. It will supplant this moment with a mythical moment. Who or what could possibly do that? Or do you believe something's doing it to you? That you have nothing to do with this place? You just got dropped in here trying to do the best you can? That there's this all-powerful fucking motherfucker being that's screwing with you all day? And I have to pray religiously to hope that it eases off, maybe? Or... you may be what's behind the camera, taking yourself to be what's in front of the camera, this action figure. You may be living this life, giving it as much reality as it can, and the movie seems pretty damn good because of the director, yeah, and the audience of the movie. See where the real power lies. Yeah, if you can look, you'll find it's coming from a location right near you. Where is it happening from? Where is that motherfucker dropping? Whoa, seems to be happening right here. I find it revelatory. Yeah? I find it's a quantum leap from what the first inventory of recovery did help me with, which is take the spotlight off of you and look at where my role in everything was. Well, this is taking a you spotlight off of all of this and bringing it back to your role in things. Yeah, very humbling. Very a huge relief from blame and all like this, and they're doing it to me. And all those juicy abstractions we can go into. It's not so. Yeah. And if I stop watering and bringing artificial light to that harvest crop, that area of yesterday and the future, guess what happens? This day shines brightly. Yeah? The brighter it is, the clearer the invitation. You can read it from afar. You can see it. You don't have to be real up close. You'll see it from afar. you actually see it clearer with a more open lens, not a concentrated, contracted lens, but more open lens. You get the message. Yeah. And you're there to receive it. And it may sound weird, but if this possibility of giving meaning to things is given to all that there is of meaning, see what that's going to bring about. Yeah? You can get into this imaginary duet. Yeah? You're going to open up reality to be real here by entertaining the possibility. Yeah? Something that had no effect or influence on you now is the biggest influence of all. What happened? Did it just show up? Or was it always there waiting for your acknowledgement? Yeah? How's the acknowledgement withheld? When you're up the ass of self, basically. When you're identified as something that you're not. How can you recognize what you are through the lens of something that you're not? You just turn the lens on that and realize you're not that, and then you see what you are. You're the seeing. It's not in form. It's not a thing. It's non-thing, and it's unformed. Our logic of our conditional mind is always to imagine a noun with any verb. This is giving up that fucking hallucination and seeing all there is verbing. And things become really freaking obvious. It's much difficult. It's different to recognize something if it's moving and you're still. When you're moving with it, then you really get it. Yeah. But if you want to be a stationary point, and then you think you see the river by just having a little segment that has passed you by, and you call that the river, you never get the expanse of the event. But if you're moving with it, like you're a part of the current of it all, and you recognize it. Yeah. It's not like a mystical secret you finally, it's like they say, it's an open secret. It's the gateless gate. What could be a secret if everyone knew it? Obviously it isn't. It's an open secret. What toll would you have to pay if it's a gateless gate to enter? Obviously none. Yeah? It's the journey that doesn't provoke one step. All these statements they use to try to imply what's looking is what you're looking for. And then you hear it. Where? No. Write that. Because this has a preconceived idea stuck on it. That you think it's who's looking. Which totally blinds you to the what's looking. While the what's looking is occurring. It's a mind boggling, really. It doesn't even alter the what's looking, because it can't. It just puts a little, like a skin on it. Who's looking. And it does the trick. I can now live oblivious to all there is. I can live in this omnipresence and never feel what the omnipresence is. Yeah. I can be in the omnipotence yet feel totally powerless. I can be searching for love when I'm in the source of love. I can be trying to achieve myself into what can only be expressed. Good luck, buckaroo. Has it worked yet? I know 2014, a real new meaning message is coming. It's going to be the combination of all everything. Buddhism, Course in Miracles, Kabbalah. Oh, that's going to work. No, it isn't. What makes anything work is the only thing that works. Yeah? You can have a total fraud, and if the mind likes what that person's saying, that fraud could lead you to the promised land. It has nothing to do with it. It's what the mind does with it when it hears it. Yeah? People, they used to have all this controversy about Carlos Castaneda, you know, this guy, Don Juan. My friend was with him for a few years, yeah. Now, a lot of people say he's a fraud, but how many people were motivated and inspired by his works? Yeah? How could a fraud ever produce such great effects? Because it's not anything to do with the fraud. It's what's hearing it. It's what's reading it. It's not who's reading it. It's what's reading it. And the mind wants to take a lie and use it to bring about the ultimate fact. It can do it here in time. I'm getting feisty now. This is when you want a sword, you know. First cut my own head off, then cut everyone's head off. That imaginary head.
So Paul, is this what they refer to as a placebo effect, you know, when you give somebody an aspirin and you tell them it's going to cure you and you get the cure and because you...
Yes. Well, in a way,
your mind believes it to be so.
Well, the thing is, it's not even a cure because you're not ill. So it's like a past the placebo. The placebo doesn't cure you of anything, but there's nothing to cure. That's the solution. And if the mind doesn't want that to be so, it will seem like it isn't so until it gets exhausted in its little shenanigans, and then it'll just. It'll exhale one day, and everything will change. Just give up the ghost, yeah? Like the Course in Miracles says, you know, I need do nothing. Everything that's worth its salt will lead you to that moment, that I need do nothing. That's the revelation, yeah? That all has been just as it's been. All this is going to be forgotten. It's like writing on cloud. It's not making a lasting impression. Everything is just, it's like skimming over the surface of mind, probably not even being noticed much. Well, you know, you can try to hold on to something that's coming and going. Why not just let go? Sort of like the idea of you're thinking, you're grasping, let's say, your mind is like a grasping tool. And let's say you start going down a big tube and there's nothing to grasp, after a while, it may dawn on you, their wings, you know? You know what I mean? You'll try to use the wings to grasp, and then finally, you can't do it, and then it gets exhausted, and then it stops, and then the wings appear. They've always been there. They were just fucking arthritically formed by a failed system of thought and interpretation. These are to grab, and to get, and to hold, when maybe they're to fly, you know? That's what happens. Hopefully these talks can speed it up, save you some time. Yeah. Because when it dawns on you, you lose interest in time. It's like you've never been waiting long. There's no value in patience. There's nothing you were missing. You know, it's as if time loses all relevance in that way when this dawns on you, because you realize all there is timelessness. Yeah, how can you long for what's never gone? How can you have to weather a long process that what cannot be processed? Yeah, this is not a product of your endeavors. So the seeing gets bastardized. Yeah. The mental process, it can't get rid of the seeing. No way. So what does it do? It makes it seem to disappear by adopting it into a form of looking called self-centeredness. Yes? So now, this looking doesn't emphasize the seeing. It emphasizes the seer and the seen. Yeah? And in a way, by that emphasis, it loses the lifeblood of the event. The conscious contact isn't observed, isn't even sensed. And an interpretation of who is in contact and with what becomes the dominant story. Yeah, it's an amazing heist in a way. So So there's the oneness of an event, which is there's the seer, the seeing, the seen, but it gets partitioned. The seer is emphasized, the seen's emphasized, but the seeing is diminished. Without the seeing, there's no seer or seen. But we like to think it is that's not the case. Yeah? We think the seeing is an arbitrary event that will happen to the permanent seer. It may be seeing, it may not, but it's always the seer. It's not the case. The seer and the seen are produced by the seeing. Yeah? It's not the other way around. The seer isn't producing the seeing. The seeing produces the possibility of a story called the seer, the seeing. Yeah? So there it is. That heist occurs, and then it just geometrically progresses because it's given a lot of time here, and it has tons of space, and it's manifesting. And it's manifesting through your and my breath, in a sense. Our breath of reality blows into that activity and gives it a sense of being real. And now we take ourselves to be one of those little blow-up dolls, and everything else that we are blowing up with meaning has the ability to bite us in the ass. And now we're living under our own trials and tribulations. Yeah, we become like the target for the arrow. Yeah, and we make up a story of the archer. Yeah, sometimes we're it, sometimes it's someone else. It's progressed geometrically, but no matter how much it progresses, it's still defined by its limitation, which it can only reach the level of seemingly so. It can only seem to be so to you. Yeah? It can seem to be so to you, and yet right next to you, it's not seeming to be so to that person. But what is real, so real to you, may not be real at all to the next person. Yeah? Yeah? So the what's giving the meaning, which we've gone over and over again, to that thing to be seemingly so is what's so. Yeah? Now, let's say in this event of what's so, that what's so ain't going with it. Yeah? It's not into making that thing seem real. So that thing has no reality other than the reality it's given, so it's having no effect on Denise, let's say. Yeah? The other person, it's triggered a hook. There's a belief there that it's about me. And in that, then the reality lends itself to that, and then the dance is on. Yeah? And a lot of times, you don't want to be with the partner you're dancing with. So there's tension and conflict, and then there's what ifs, and it could be different, and this and that. And there's a total denial about what's going on. And it seems as real can be. And of course, if you have enough of that, you're going to be driven to get some relief. Yeah? But the relief, the suggestions about the relief will be coming from the animated problem. Yeah? So all your solutions actually reinforce the problem. They're the bigger problem, actually. they're actually the way to apply more reality to the problem by trying to get out of it. So now you're in this conundrum, and it's building a lot of mass and a lot of momentum, and you pretty much have forgotten everything. And you're really, really hyper aware of all these somethings. Yeah? So the forest has been forgotten, and now you're in the world of trees. Yes, individual trees with a lot of power. The power of big forests. You know? And you want to get out. Let's say it gets so bad, you'll do almost anything to get out. And you have a tendency to go anywhere, and so you start shooting drugs and prostituting yourself and living this way and that way. And you never imagined anything like this could have ever happened to you, yet it's happening to you every day. Yeah? And it can get to a point where it seems so real that it doesn't seem any way out. Yeah? Now that's the place we never want to go, yet that's an incredible changing point. Where we hit the point where there's no way out, that's when we find out we may not be in. Yeah? You can't escape. So the bottom occurs, and the bottom reveals a new beginning. Because you weren't actually in what you thought you were in, and now you proceed to live the possibility of being out of it. Like recovery and stuff. Yeah? This is what happens. It's happening every second, every day, every hour. Yeah? It's just you're being reinvented, reinforced, right? Fed a lot of interest and attention, you die again and again and again and again and again. It's like blowing a blow-up doll that has a couple of holes in it. You're constantly blowing it to get the semblance of the image that you're hoping to get, yeah? But it always sags. And it's freaking exhausting, to tell you the truth, I would imagine. Yeah? What happens is, if you see it, someone informs you of it, and it resonates in you, so now, in a certain way, let's say a downscaled way, you've seen it, yeah? You haven't had the hit yet, but you're seeing it, yeah? It's like an aha or an unspoken yes. That's pretty close to the seeing of it. Now, okay, we play on that seeing of it. Yeah, you get it repeated. You listen to some of the talks or whatever. You go to see other people. And then once something's going to happen where the seeing will be emphasized. Yeah, the understanding is forgotten. You don't need the understanding when the seeing. You don't need a view when vision's available. Yeah? The view helps as a substitute until the vision gets clear. That's the view. That's its value. But once the vision becomes clear, it will become a disservice to keep clinging to the view. You're free from the view. You got the vision. Yes, the vision's happening. Yeah, that's what's on offer. So, if you have an affinity to this message, you feel like something's there, entertain it. Entertain the possibility. See what downloads in you. And you'll know the tree by its fruits. If it starts to work, why not let it keep working? Yeah? Instead of running to the next right thing or the next big thing, why not hunker down and just left entertaining it? Yeah? Take away maybe some of the frills of all those, you know, spiritual nobility trips, going to the meeting, sitting close to the... Maybe you don't have to do that for a while. Maybe just entertain it, see how it downloads in your own predicament. Yes? And if it's working, allow it to keep working. There's no thought or effort on your part. It's not vigilance. It's entertaining. And your mind's entertaining anyway all day. You're just changing what it's entertaining. That's all. Simple. In other words, you said no to the beef, and you're taking the tofu burger, you know? Just saying no to the beef once, and you're taking the tofu burger. How much effort is there? Absolutely none. Yeah? You're going to eat no matter what. Just replace it with something. Now your mind's entertaining a possibility. That possibility isn't from an imaginary field. It isn't from a dry, arid garden. It's from a very lush space. And it's going to inform you of that while you're entertaining it. Yeah? If you get fruit from that garden, it's going to be fucking juicy. It's not going to be, you get like a paper saying, the story of the apple you're never going to bite. So you get this, I had an apple. I read about it. I looked at the picture of it. But you never really had the apple. You didn't eat it. Yeah. Now you start eating it, so you don't need a description of the apple. You know, you don't need memories of the apple. You don't need pictures of apples. You've actually tasted it. And then you may have a liking for that taste. Keep eating. If this is infinite, find out. My ability to entertain has been matched. This is always there to be entertained. Yeah? If my ability to entertain has been lent to it, it will be kept busy by what's always able to be entertained. Yeah? And then you have plenty of attention and interest to entertain what shows up today. You do not have enough interest to deal with tomorrow and yesterday. They're not happening. But you'll have enough interest to deal with today. I mean, how many thoughts do I need today to come to this talk? About maybe a five, and then maybe figure out where to go to eat. I'm having 70,000 thoughts a day. Basically, I need 10 days to navigate this Saturday in Toronto. What are the 69,990 thoughts doing? They're there to reinforce the idea that you're the thinker, that you're the doer, that you're the feeler, that you're the Alpha and the Omega. It could not be any other way. What's not so has to be remembered to appear to be so. It has to be produced. What's not so for it to appear to be so has to be produced. It cannot generate itself. Yeah, it cannot animate itself. It's bereft of life. It's bereft of light. It has to take the light. Yeah, and hijack it and then use it to reflect, to cast a light on the past and the future and get this really weird reflection of you. That assumes, all right, I was that, I'm going to be that, I am that. Yeah? And then that's that. And then the rest is story. I've seen it. You may have a different opinion. This is what I've seen. This is what's happening. I can't describe it any better. Maybe tomorrow there'll be more description. But it's just how you don't to judge the beast. You don't may not have to see it from nose to tail. You can get a pretty good gut idea of it just from the fucking head. Yeah. You can hear about the rest, and that would just reassure you that you're on the right freaking path, the non-path. Yeah. It's only the head that bites you. Everything else is superfluous. You know, that's the thing you want to see, the thing with the teeth that grabs, gets you. Oh, you're a loser. Hook, you know, I'm not worthy of hook. Yes. So as long as your belief assumes what's being offered to be so, that bait now catches the fish. Your mind becomes an object, seemingly. And now when that happens, you feel like a historical fish. You have a feeling that you were there before this occurred, which you weren't, and that you'll be there after this occurred, which you won't. But there's a strong feeling you will be. That's the production of the sense of self. What happens if you don't take the bait? The production can't go online. It can't. It can't produce the goods because it's been cut. It's been cut at the energy point. Yeah. You don't try to put your hand in the conveyor belt. You turn off the electricity. Yeah. To put your hand in the conveyor belt, your hand may get mangled. But to turn off the electricity, the machine stops. Yeah. You are the electricity. Stop paying the fucking bills. You're lighting an imaginary house. It's drying all your resources up. No one lives there. Just the lights are on. Any questions? I'm not going to be able to make it till 4 today. Can't do it. What time is it now? 4. Is it?
In Chicago.
Oh, it is? In Chicago, yeah. Oh, the meeting hasn't even started in California. Oh, no. I'm just getting up by then, though. Well, any questions? Help me out, folks.
You said that it doesn't require vigilance, but I woke up in the morning and I was awake and I was real, I was that. And then there's the mind starts churning up things and it was really beautiful to catch it, trying to create a self again.
Yeah.
But it seems to take a bit of vigilance to just catch those moments when it's ready to grab.
Well, at that point when it's forming and you maybe are going along the line, yeah. you may call it vigilance, but yeah. Underneath that there's always the entertaining.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're aligned with that, then that's never stops, you know. So then why do you need to be vigilant about something that never stops? I don't have to keep watching it. It's there.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah. But let's say this is like the idea of level confusions.
Yeah.
If there's a little stickiness that the mind is seemingly getting adhered to, then there's one of the skillful means is vigilance. You remember the understanding and then it gets corrected before it picks up steam.
Okay, so
yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But after a while, that will happen less and less frequently, and there'll be more it's just sort of like Ramana Maharshi. A lot of people, I don't know if they get it or not, when he talks about self-inquiry, he says self-inquiry, as soon as you have the sense of the big self, stop the inquiry.
Right.
It's time to enjoy. You don't keep asking, who am I, when that questioning opened your mind up to recognize what's so. Don't cut it off. Stop the who am I? You know what I mean? And then enjoy that sense of presence. Yeah? Don't, in other words, don't get affiliated with the process. It's just a skillful means. When the ends are produced, you put it down. Yeah? It's like I used to tell a story. I can fill up some time with this one. This is a good one. In recovery, we have this thing about an inventory process. Yeah? It's a very important part. So you do an inventory process, and the inventory is you look at your resentments and your fears and you're harming other people in the pursuit of what you wanted in life. Yeah? And then you see how you harm people, you get the recognition, and then you make an amends. That's what leads to step 9, and you go and you make either financial amends or you tell people, not that you're sorry, but that your intention is never to do that again to any person that you did with that person. You know? And of course, it's a story of being the action, but this is how you clean it up in a way. Yeah. So in this thing, and it says, you know, I use that the terminology of self manifests in various ways is what has defeated us. And then now, when you're clear of that, then you look at, okay, what are some of its common manifestations, resentments, fears, harms, and others? But they're actually expressions of self, yeah? Which isn't a real thing. It's an appearing activity of the mind, yeah? So you can tell the diagnosis that there's a bondage of self is when, quote-unquote, you are calling everything that's being expressed from self through you as yours. I mean, it's a perfect diagnostic. You just go, the identification as self seems to be in place because you're not seeing that they're expressions of a foreign installment. You're looking as if they're yours. So that's like, you're at a point of skillful means then, yeah, which is the inventory process. So we had a story about a guy who had a beautiful yard. Remember this one? And he has a nice house, and he uses the yard for like picnics, and it's a big part of his life. He has like lawn bowling there and all this stuff, has little bands play there at times. He really loves it, and every morning he jumps off his porch with no shoes on, runs around in the morning dew, and does angels, you know, snow angels in it, just loves it. And one day he jumps off the porch and he lands in some dog shit, yeah, without any shoes on. So he goes, whoa, and immediately something changes in his life. He's got to wear shoes now, yeah. So then he gets some shoes on, he's walking around and he sees there's a lot of dog shit everywhere and it's smelling pretty bad. So he doesn't know what to do, so he does what most alcoholics would do. He tries to ignore it, goes into his house, closes the door, goes back in the afternoon, and there's even more shit. It's really smelling. So what happens is he just pulls down the shades, and he goes out and buys pictures of lawns, and he tries to reminisce, and he runs into other people that the same thing's happening to, and they're getting together talking about, it was great to have a lawn, yes, you know, those are the good old days, and worshiping lawns and looking at these things. And every time he looks out, there's more shit and it smells really bad. So one day a guy comes around and says, I think I have an answer to your problem. And you're really open to you want a solution to this. You'd like to have your lawn back. So the guy says, get some pooper scooper. You know, get a pooper scooper. And then clean up the shit. And if you get really good, you'll have a time, maybe only a few hours, but you'll have a lot of the lawn will be empty of shit and you can enjoy it, you know. You won't be able to have picnics or lawn bowling, but you'll be able to stand. You won't be able to lay down. You'll be able to stand. Hey, it's better nothing. So you get one. Then you realize you can buy two pooper scoopers, and you're pretty good. And you're picking up the shit really fast. And then people who have the same problem start hearing about you, that you seem to have an answer to the shit problem. So now they ask you to go speak, and you become like a circuit speaker, and people are gathering, and you're pontificating about your solution, which is, yeah, I get two pooper scoopers, and you're selling autographed models of the pooper scooper, and you write a book, How to Get Rid of Shit as Quick as Possible, you know, and everything like that. And you got a lot of identity in being a great pooper scooper master, whatever. And so another day, a guy comes and says, hey, I think I have a solution to your problem. He says, you go, what problem? You're not seeing it as a problem anymore. You've got a lot of investment in this position of being the pooper scooper. So the guy goes, okay, well, if you don't need it, here it is. Find the dog. Yeah? And you're like, what? Find the dog. The shit's coming from somewhere. If you find the source of the shit, get rid of that. There goes the shit. What? Oh, yeah. There you are, but now you have a, wait, I like these pooper scoopers, bro. I got a whole line of them coming out next year. I can't be fucking going for this solution. It'll ruin my whole life. Yeah, that's what happens from the point of view of selfing. But what happens is, so if you get rid of the dog, will there any be any more shit? No. That's what it's like. But the problem is, you think you're the dog. You can't entertain being free of you because you're identified as that. Yeah? You can't entertain what's facilitating the shit because you think you're the shitter. All you're trying to do is say, my shit's better than their shit, but basically, you know? Yeah? There's an investment there. There's no willingness to let go. And that's why it's not seemingly happening. If the identification is placed, you'll let go of almost anything, but not that. Yeah? That's the last thing you want to see go, is what was never here. And for it to keep appearing to be, your mind's engaged with it. That's the only way it appears to be so. Yeah. So I found it was great news to admit to myself, all I want is to want to be free. Yeah? I still want to be there when the freedom occurs. That's not how it works. And that became okay with me. And then the freedom was available. But first I had to admit what wasn't so, or what seemed really to be so, which is I don't really want to be free. I would meditate for 5 hours, but if peace started breaking in my mind, I had to do the laundry. You know? I didn't really want the goods. I just wanted to look like I was going for the goods. The goods scared the living shit out of me. Because what I thought, it's like that state, that story about the snake and the skin. Yeah? You can look at it from two points of view. So every year the snake molts its skin, yeah? But let's say if you were looking at an event from the skin's point of view, it's a really scary thing coming. Because the skin is affiliated as being the snake. Yeah? So when it's seeing, it starts getting the sense that the skin's starting to get loose, it's telling the snake's head to get a lot of moisturizer. Stay out of the sun. Don't be traveling over fucking craggy rocks for a while. You know, we got to take care of the skin. But the natural process is to drop that skin off. What happens? From the snake's point of view, it's hallelujah. It gets a new skin that's much smoother, allows it to travel a lot lighter over the terrain of its life. That's what we use that example for. Yeah? The new skin facilitates a lot smoother moving. The old skin has crags and things to catch. Yes? But from the skin's point of view, it's the last fucking thing it wants to happen. But from the snake's point of view, it's hallelujah. All it is open up to the possibility of shift, allowing the view to shift. Yeah? When someone was sharing it today, the super fear that you're going to be lost. Yeah? From the thing that's never been here, it's scary as hell. But from the other aspect, hallelujah. Yeah? It's the same event. It's just seen from two different positions. So if you have immunity, your head's saying, don't do, no, something like that. It's not you. It's not affiliated with you. It's not you. Yeah? And by recognizing or entertaining the possibility it may not be you, you'll have an immunity to it. You'll hear it, but you won't listen to it. You have to hear it. There's consciousness available. But you're not listening to it anymore. There's no intention anymore. Yeah? And if you're not navigated by thought, find out what it's like to be navigated here. That's it, I think. Yeah? Any questions? It's more than enough, right? Yeah. It's not like chipmunks. Stick some nuggets in there. You'll get to it later. No, it can only be fresh out of the oven. If it's even an hour stale, it doesn't work. Seriously. After an hour, it's made into something already. Yeah. That's it. So I hope everyone comes back, or I don't know. Maybe I don't hope everyone comes back. Some people. Let's see. Oh yeah, everyone. Everyone's here. I love seeing everybody. I appreciate you. It's good to see you both. Very good.
Thank you.
I'm happy you're here. Yes. It's already a done deal, bro. You know, it's just going to work itself out in time. There's no worries. That's one of the big qualities of the Course in Miracles. Says whatever the mind intends has to come to pass. So there's no way you can lose. You know, you can just save time if you like. Isn't that lovely, really? I think it's lovely. Because a lot of times it takes so much pressure, you know, because it seems to all be on you. You know, I've got to do this. I'll tell you, man, I meditated a lot. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with meditation, but how my mind used it was wrong, in a way. It made it into something. You know? Because it had so much, it put so much nobility on it. That was my biggest adhesion. I thought it was different than washing the dishes. I thought it was more profound to do quote-unquote spiritual practices. And therefore, the meaning my mind gave it was turbocharged. And I was so weird, because I remember I first met a spiritual teacher, a guru, when I was like 18. I'd been grown up a Catholic. I had no idea about any of that stuff. But when I met the teacher, tons of ideas about the topic came in my head. I had ideas how he should have been, how he should be, how I should be, how the devotee should be. I mean, galore. Tons of shit. Just mental minutiae downloaded. As soon as I got in contact with the topic, tons of fucking old ideas that I couldn't have acquired in this life. I was 18 years old. Like, tons of ideas, and they just got them. They got their moment in the sun all day for 5 fucking years, to the point where I was trying to figure out how I could kill the guy to get him out of my life. I swear I was going to hit him with a time-delayed dart during a procession, and then he'd pass away like 100 yards away, and they wouldn't figure out where it came from, you know, the crowd. Just somehow, because it just produced so much suffering. And the point of it was to lead to freedom. It was used the exact opposite way, just to produce tons of suffering. You couldn't believe it, you know? But you think your intentions are meant to lead one way. They are so co-opted, they're going to lead you the exact opposite way. Yeah? Let's go to a movie tonight, maybe. You think so? Yeah. I need some entertainment. I need to sort of ground myself out. Yes. Hercules, okay? Yeah, that's good. Good to see Hercules. Simon, our main man, visiting from Hong Kong. How are you? Say hello to Simon. Yes, Simon's a very nice man. We got Lauren there. She's usually... Yes, let's recognize all the Illuminati out there. We got Michael, one of our famous cult members. Donna, the ever-present love machine. She's here. Monique, yes. She's now bought a tattoo parlor in Peru. Yes, it's pretty good. If you want a tattoo, go down there. Surf Beach. My man in black from whatever I can say. He knows. Yes. Nice to see you again. You're incredible. Very nice. The lady from Ottawa.
Cheryl.
This one is one of my favorites. Came in here. You, honey. Yes, yes. Denise is, I stayed at her house the first time I came here. Denise and Joe. Very nice. Yeah. You're so lovely, all of you, you know. I mean, it's just, you don't have to try so hard. Really. I come here, it's just like a love fest, you know. when I come here. You know, in Zen, they never mention the word love much. Yeah, it's not a very big word in Zen applications. Yeah, but love is a powerful tonic. Yeah, we've been passing the bottle around here. Mm.